Have you ever noticed that the biggest shifts in cockpit technology almost never debut at the shows everybody knows about? I'm Vector on Cleared Direct Radio Hangar, and this week the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition opens in Geneva. EBACE doesn't get the spectacle of Farnborough or the sheer scale of Oshkosh, but if you want to know what your panel is going to look like in 3 years, this is where you pay attention. This segment is supported by AviationSold.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSold.com. So let's break this down. EBACE runs Tuesday through Thursday this week at Palexpo in Geneva. And the European Business Aviation Association, or EBAA, has stacked the agenda with technology sessions in a way they haven't done in previous years. There are three threads worth tracking, and all of them have implications well beyond the bizjet world. Thread number one is sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF. Now, I know you've heard about SAF until your eyes glaze over, but here's what most people miss. The European Union's Refuel EU mandate kicks in hard starting January 1st, 2027. That's not a target, that's a requirement. Every departure from a European Union airport will need a minimum blend of SAF in the tanks. The number starts at 2%, which sounds small until you realize the current global SAF supply covers roughly 0.5% of total jet fuel demand. The math doesn't work yet. Several fuel producers are expected to announce expanded production capacity at EBACE this week, and Neste, TotalEnergies, and a handful of smaller European refiners have been hinting at new offtake agreements specifically targeting business aviation operators. Why business aviation first? Because the volumes are smaller, the margins are higher, and the operators are willing to pay a premium to stay compliant. For general aviation pilots, this matters because SAF pricing creates a ripple effect at every fuel farm. When the bizjet side of the field starts paying $5 or $6 more per gallon for blended fuel, the economics of your 100-low lead start to shift too. Not immediately, but the infrastructure investments being announced this week in Geneva will shape fuel pricing across European airports for the next decade. Thread number two is the one I'm personally watching closest, and that's the next generation of connectivity-driven avionics. Honeywell has been teasing updates to their Anthem integrated flight deck, which I covered a while back as the cloud-connected suite designed for aircraft that don't exist yet. Well, some of those aircraft are starting to exist. The Textron Aviation Cessna Citation Ascend, which uses Anthem as its primary flight deck, has been in flight testing, and Honeywell is expected to demonstrate updated software features at their EBACE booth that show real-time data sharing between the aircraft and ground-based maintenance systems. What does that mean practically? Imagine your avionics box detecting a trend in an engine parameter. Not a failure, just a trend, and automatically scheduling a maintenance appointment at your destination before you even land. That's predictive maintenance at the flight deck level, not just the airline level. Business aviation is getting it first because the certification pathway for Part 25 aircraft with integrated avionics is more straightforward than retrofitting the legacy fleet. But the real story isn't Honeywell alone. Garmin, Collins Aerospace, and Universal Avionics are all presenting at EBACE this week. And the common thread across all four companies is data. Every major avionics manufacturer is now building their roadmap around continuous connectivity. The flight deck isn't becoming a glass panel. It already is a glass panel. It's becoming a node on a network. The data tells an interesting story here. 10 years ago, a business jet might have downlinked maintenance data after landing via a ground service terminal. 5 years ago, that moved to satellite link during flight, but on a delay. This year, the demonstrations are showing real-time bidirectional data flow. The flight deck sends data up, and the network sends updated weather, traffic, NOTAM, and performance data back down, all continuously. For those of us flying piston singles and light twins, this feels like science fiction, but the technology trickles down faster than you'd think. The Garmin GI275 and the G3X Touch already pull weather and traffic data in ways that would have been unthinkable 15 years ago. The architecture being demonstrated in Geneva this week is the architecture that eventually reaches your skyline. Now, thread number three. Electric and hybrid propulsion is on the EBACE agenda, but with a notably different tone than previous years. The hype cycle has cooled. What's replacing it is more interesting. It's engineering honesty. Lilium, which I've talked about before, is expected to have a presence at EBACE. But the conversation has shifted from when do we fly passengers to what does the certification evidence package actually look like for a novel propulsion system under European Union Aviation Safety Agency rules. EASA has been building a new certification framework for electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, and several sessions this week will address the special conditions that EASA is applying to these designs. Here's what matters for pilots. EASA and the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, have a bilateral aviation safety agreement, which means certification decisions made in Europe influence what happens in the United States. If EASA finalizes its special conditions for electric propulsion this year, the FAA's parallel rulemaking effort gets a significant reference point. The regulatory dominoes are connected. Pipistrel, now part of Textron Aviation, is also expected to present updates on their electric trainer program. The Velis Electro is already EASA type certified, making it the only type certified electric airplane in the world. They've been accumulating operational data from flight schools across Europe, and the numbers on maintenance cost per flight hour versus a Rotax-powered trainer are compelling. We're talking about roughly 40% lower direct operating costs per hour, mostly because electric motors have so few moving parts. The catch, and there's always a catch, is endurance. The Velis Electro gives you about 50 minutes of usable flight time with reserves. That's enough for traffic pattern work and local training flights. But it's not a cross-country machine. Pipistrel has been hinting at a next-generation battery pack that extends that endurance, and EBACE might be where we hear specifics, or it might not. Battery announcements in aviation have a track record of being about 18 months away for the last 5 years. Running. Beyond the exhibitor floor, there are two sessions on the EBACE agenda that deserve attention even if you never fly a business jet. The first is a panel on advanced air mobility integration into European airspace. The Single European Sky ATM research program, known as CESAR, has been running simulation exercises for how eVTOL traffic would coexist with conventional IFR and VFR traffic around major European cities. The early results suggest that the airspace integration problem is harder than the vehicle problem. Building an electric aircraft that flies is difficult. Building an air traffic management system that can handle 500 of them buzzing around Paris or London simultaneously is a different order of complexity entirely. The second session is on cybersecurity for connected aircraft. This is the topic nobody in general aviation wants to think about, but it's coming. When your flight deck is a node on a network, it's also a potential target on a network. The avionics manufacturers presenting at EBACE are starting to talk openly about how they secure data links, authenticate software updates, and prevent unauthorized access to flight-critical systems. This is not theoretical. EASA published cybersecurity certification guidance last year, and every new connected avionics system going through certification now has to demonstrate resilience against cyber threats. The era of the isolated cockpit is ending, so what should you actually watch for coming out of Geneva this week? Three things. First, SAF production commitments. If the numbers announced this week close the gap between supply and the 2027 mandate, that's bullish for the transition. If they don't, expect political pressure to soften the timeline. Second, any Garmin or Collins announcement about bringing connectivity features currently exclusive to Part 25 flight decks down to Part 23 or experimental aircraft. That's the signal that the technology pipeline is accelerating toward general aviation. Third, watch the tone on electric propulsion. If the conversation stays grounded in certification evidence and operational data rather than swinging back to breathless timelines, that's actually the healthiest sign for the technology's long-term viability. The best engineering happens when the marketing department sits down. EBACE runs through Thursday, and I'll be watching the announcements as they come. Most of my sourcing for this preview comes from the EBAA's published agenda. Honeywell's pre-show briefings, ESA certification documentation, and reporting from Aviation Week and Flight Global. More at RadioHangar.com. Fly sharp this week, and if you're heading to Geneva, say hello to the future for me.